Ephesians chapter 3, if you have Bibles. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3 this morning and think on this passage together. If you're taking notes, really simple main idea, and here it is. Pray for spiritual empowerment. That's the main idea if you want to jot it down. Pray for spiritual empowerment. What do you pray for? What do you pray for most often? What are your default prayers you go back to again and again and again that you find yourself saying to God over and over? What are those prayers? Friends, I want to show you in this text, we are really pathetically weak. It's not a feel-good sermon, I guess. We are weaker than we know. We need God to come through in our lives to empower us spiritually to do the kinds of things. Have you read the Bible? The kinds of things he's calling us to. Do we think in our own strength, in our own power, that we'll do these things? You read and you age, and over time you just begin to see all that strength I thought I had is not that impressive. My high school years, I mean, I used to lift weights quite often. Not so much anymore, I guess. But I used to, a good goal is to bench press your body weight, and I was a little above that in high school. That is not the case today. It's actually quite disconcerting to go to Callen and see guys warming up on the bench press with what I used to max out at. That bothers me. When I was a student, college, graduate, postgraduate, I was surrounded by brilliant people, gifted people, people way smarter, way better than I was all of the time. The moment you think, like, I got this going on as a student, I'm doing well in this paper, someone else comes along and does what they do, and you say, yeah. I'm a husband and a father. There are days, I don't know why, but there are days I feel like, man, I've got this dad thing, this husband thing going on. And then God's like, yeah, that's cute. Because something happens where I recognize, man, I am not that strong in these areas of my life. People are wiser than me. They're funnier than me. They're more musical than me. They're more athletic than me. You name it, that's true. And sometimes in life, I just feel weak. And the more I go through my days spiritually, the more I recognize, man, I am profoundly, incredibly weak. And here's the beautiful thing. Let me say this up front. The beautiful thing is when we get tired, God never gets tired. He never gets tired. And when we get tired of, like, God, I'm sure that I'm annoying you by coming to you again for strength in this issue, he is not tired of you. He wants to embrace you again to give you strength again, gladly. Gladly. He has that kind of heart toward you every moment of every single day. I don't want to just say it. Let's read a text and see that's the case. Ephesians 3 verse 14 says this. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints. This is beautiful. This is really beautiful. What is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who's able to do far more abundantly than all that we would ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. We'll get there later, but the love of God is something we've heard all of our lives, and it's something we should never get tired of or not be in awe of. Verse 14 and 15. See, God is the foundation of prayer. God is the foundation of prayer. So we see in verse 14, for this reason, going back to verse 1 of this chapter as well. So Paul is continuing on this whole section of chapters 1 to 3 and saying, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, because God saved us by grace. He's united us into one new people in Ephesians 2. I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. God is the foundation of all of our prayer. Any hope we have of strength in this life or anything in this life comes from God. He is the foundation. And here we recognize, I bow my knees before the Father. You may not always do that physically, although there's various ways to posture ourselves in prayer. Standing, sitting, kneeling. But at the very least, friends, when we pray, we in our inward being, our hearts, better be bowing to the God of the universe, who is sovereign over all, all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present, sovereign. We bow before him. We are not him. He is him. We are not, so we recognize you are a creator, I'm the created one, so I'll just bow in your presence. Posture matters. If you're in meetings and across the table someone has their arms folded, scowl on the face, you recognize by that posture they're intending to communicate something to you, right? I recall the very first time on this campus, he spoke this past week, I met General Lauren Reno. I sent an email to General Reno. One of my first years here, I read his 10 Leadership Maneuvers book. I mean, great book. If you don't know, General Reno's 38, 39 years in the Air Force, 3-star general, impressive. So I sent him an email and say, thank you for this book. That was so helpful, so good. And 10 minutes later, there's a knock at my door. And I turn to look, and it is General Lauren Reno. Now, I don't know what you do, but in the kind of family I was raised in, I immediately stood. I was sitting at my desk just typing away, and I look, and I was like, oh, and I just like stood at attention. My hands go in my pockets, like, no, hands to the side, right? So strange. But I wanted my posture to communicate to him respect. That's what I wanted. Friends, our heart's posture before our God should be worship, reverence. Our God is a consuming fire, Hebrews 12 tells us. He is awesome. He is the one who creates, sustains, and exercises sovereignty over all heavenly beings and humanity, whether they know it or not. Every human being throughout history on this planet is under the sovereign lordship of God, whether they know it or not, and someday every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's gonna happen. So friends, recognize God in your prayers as sovereign over all. Recognize that he is at work in this life and in your life. Express worship to him. Then he goes into these requests. He has two requests and two results. Here they are. Request number one is this. Pray for the power of the Spirit. This is request number one. Pray for the power of the Spirit. This is verse 16, where he says that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. I love that, by the way, that according to the riches of his glory. It's not, okay, God's bank account is not your bank account. Let's put it that way. Our bank account is like, man, you keep going back there again and again and again, it's gonna run out. God's bank account is like, can I keep going back to him for strength? He's got it all day, people. Infinite, glorious power coming to you all day long. So according to the infinite riches of his glory, okay, if that's the case, we pray and we pray and we pray. We recognize every spiritual blessing, Ephesians 1 verse 3, is ours in Christ, and we pray to him. Specifically here, verse 16, we pray that he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit. So Holy Spirit power, Holy Spirit strength, where? In your inner being, in your heart. That's the prayer request. The center of who we are, our thinking, our feeling, our willing. We pray here, Holy Spirit, I want Holy Spirit strength in my inner being. I pray for that. That phrase, inner self or inner being, Paul uses elsewhere in 2 Corinthians 4:16-18. He says, so we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. Same phrase there, inner self. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison as we look not to things that are seen, but things that are unseen. For things that are seen are transient, but things that are unseen are eternal. We need inner being, inner heart strength. Now look, in this room, some of us, well, a lot of us, a lot of you are young. A lot of you guys are in your prime. Some of us in this room, we're past our prime. Let's just say it that way, okay? But here's the thing. We are all of us aging. All of us. Our bodies break down in this life. And in our culture, there has been and continues to be a fair obsession with the body. Physicality, which is not always a bad thing, but we can often overlook our need for dependence on the Spirit's power for the continual transformation of our inner being. The Spirit grants us that strength. So here's the thing, we operate in the power of another. We have strength that comes from another, and in that strength, we operate. It's like 1 Peter 4:11, the one who serves, serve in the strength that God supplies. Or 1 Corinthians 15:10, where Paul says, I worked harder than any of them. Nevertheless, it was not I, but the grace of God that was in me. It's like a few years back in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, on vacation, there's a store we love there at the end of the main street. And inside this building, there's a climbing wall. And my kids wanted to do the climbing wall. It was a few years ago now. And I said, sure, that's great. So they got strapped in, got the shoes and all that kind of stuff and started climbing this wall. Now, my son at that point was probably 7, I don't know, something like that. And so he's climbing this, and it goes 2 stories high, does the climbing wall in the store. And so he's rolling, doing his thing, climbing up, doing well. But halfway up, you know, he's getting tired. He's a young guy. And he stops. And he literally just sort of let go of the wall and he was like, oh. Okay. And then he keeps on climbing. Now, he gets to the top, rings the bell, and he says, I can just still see this. He says, I did it. To which I'm like, you did, son. I mean, I put an asterisk by that, but you did, right? Because he climbed into this thing. He did, though, forget about one person at the bottom. That's called the belayer, guy who's holding the rope as he's going up. And when he's like leaning back, not holding on the wall, he's like, you know, having to hold the rope like this, keep him on there. He gets stuck sometimes. The guy pulls on the rope and he's like, oh, hey, here I am, right? Friends, that's a fraction, that's a fraction of what our life is like. To come through some spiritual endeavor, and to minister on behalf of another, preach, teach, you disciple, you counsel, you encourage toward godliness, and you're like, I did it. God's like, yeah. But I mean, don't forget you prayed for verse 16, and I did that in your life to strengthen you by the power of the Spirit. We operate in the power of another. We need to be strengthened by the Spirit in an ongoing way. This even gets at how we pray, parents in the room, how do we pray for our kids? This gets into college students, high school students here. How do you pray for your grades, your athletics, your relationships? Do you pray, well, I just don't want to have sickness or disappointment or loss? So I'll pray in that realm to avoid those things. I don't want my kids to experience disappointment, so I'll pray against that kind of stuff. Or do we pray for spirit-empowered strength to walk through whatever God has before us on this road? He loves to strengthen us in difficult times. He wants to make us more like Christ. My mother-in-law, God bless her, love her, prayed for her kids when they were growing up, Lord, I would love to see my kids succeed, but if success would be detrimental to their character and Christ-likeness, may they fail. May her tribe increase. We don't just pray to avoid. We pray for strength to go right into the tidal wave. And as God sustains us in that by his Spirit, we see people changed for the glory of God. That's what he wants to do in you. That's what he wants to do in us. We pray for that. Result number one is this, then Christ will dwell in our hearts through faith. So you pray for the Spirit's empowering, and then Christ will dwell in our hearts through faith. Verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. There it is. I'm praying for Holy Spirit empowerment so that Christ can dwell in your heart through faith. So there's this close relationship between the experience of the Spirit's activity and Christ's indwelling. Again, heart is like inner being, same kind of idea there. And Christ's going to dwell in our hearts through faith. Now, that's odd because it seems like, well, if I'm a Christian, isn't Christ already like dwelling in me? Isn't the Spirit indwelling me? Romans 8 says, like, what does all this mean? And the focus here is not just on the initial indwelling of Christ, but on his continual abiding presence. That's the idea. This is speaking to the continual abiding presence of Christ in our lives. The verb used here signifies a permanent indwelling, a settling down, a taking up residence, rather than it being a temporary abode. My heart is Christ's home where he abides and dwells. I want to be strengthened by the Spirit so that Christ can dwell here and do his work in me to accomplish all he wants to accomplish. When we bought a house here in town in Cedarville, we had some work to do. Just for one example, pretty much every house or every wall in the house was painted pink. Think Pepto-Bismol, okay? Or there was pink wallpaper underneath which was pink paint. So we had some repainting to do. We had a lot of work to do. I'll go home today, Lord willing, and I'll walk into my house and I'll say, this is the Kimball house. This is home. And that's what Christ wants your heart to be by the Spirit's strength. He wants to reside and do his work in you. So the first request then is a plea for power. Power to live as the triune God would have us live by his power. Power for holiness. Power to think and act and feel in ways that glorify God. Power for moral resolve. Power for gratitude. Power for humility. Power for discernment. Power for obedience. And as we'll see here, power to love. Students, and I'll bet a couple of you are praying, oh dear Lord, please just get me through this semester. I see some nods. I understand. Can I say to you, about 5 weeks out, at the end of the semester, God has more for you than that. He has more for you than that to just survive. He has people that he wants you to minister to and love and help grow in godliness. You think, I don't have time for that. I don't have the energy for that. That's why the verses exist. You don't have the energy for that, or the know-how, or the wisdom, or the strength. This is why God supplies it to you moment by moment by moment, praying, oh God, do this in me. We need this all of the time. What do you pray for? What do we pray for? Request number two, pray for strength to understand divine power and Christ's love. Pray for strength to understand divine power and Christ's love. This is verse 17 again. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. I want to understand, I want to know divine power, Christ's love. It's so interesting. This is not a prayer that we would love Jesus more. Do you notice that? This is not a prayer for you to love God more. This is a prayer that you and I would comprehend the love coming our way. We need Holy Spirit level strength, apparently, and Christ residing in our hearts to see and comprehend that. Gospel-centeredness, preaching the truths of the gospel to ourselves, knowing I've been brought into right relationship with God. I am freed from sin. I'm declared not guilty. I am consecrated. All those things produce this kind of heart and mind and lead to an overarching character. The character of Christ should dominate who we are and how we live. And here's the thing. Comprehending this kind of love does not lead to some kind of loose, immoral, sinful living like, well, God loves me so I can do whatever I want to. 1 John 4 says, we love. We love God, love others. We love because, why? He first loved us. Oh, that we would see, that we would see the love of God coming to us in Christ. The Spirit gives us eyes to see, and that produces in us love. Love for God with our hearts and our souls and our mind and our strength. Love of others to be sacrificial, servant-oriented. That we would seek to serve others well because we are inundated. We comprehend the love of Christ coming to us. I have room to grow. I have room to grow. My love tank can be so constricted sometimes. And if I see God's love in Christ clearly, it's going to open my heart to love as he loves. We may know Christ's love in some measure. Friends, you will never exhaustively comprehend the love of Christ. You may think, I've read the Bible a few times, I've read some books, I know about these things. Oh man, pray for spirit empowerment to see and savor his love toward his people. No matter how much we learn, how much we grasp, all that we know and see, there is an infinity left to grasp. This vision of the love of God in Christ will call us to love God with all that we have. As we are empowered by the Spirit and Christ resides in us, and we comprehend to some level, did you see that, by the way? Comprehend, he says here, that you may to know love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. I want you to know what's unknowable. Little degrees of growth in knowing those things. And as we do, friends, we will pray for others. We will care for others' needs. We will embrace being inconvenienced. We will give of time and money. We will converse and pray for each other. We'll reach out by text and email and cards to encourage, and on the list goes. We'll do this. I have friends in this room who do this for me so well, and I seek to do it as well for them, and you feel in your life as well, the more you comprehend love of Christ, God in Christ, the greater your capacities are to love. This last result here, that you would be filled with all the fullness of God. Oh, I pray for Holy Spirit empowerment, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you would be able to comprehend to some degree God's love in Christ, that you would be filled with all the fullness of God. In a word there, that you would attain spiritual maturity. You would grow in Christ's likeness. The church would be a body of people. Your local churches would be bodies of people who are empowered and enabled to grow in maturity and love in these ways. We have room to grow in this area. That's why Paul prays as he does. We are in principle the body of Christ and all these things. Now, I want you, church, to become that in reality. To speak of God and to love him and worship him and love others well, to love one another so well, the world says, man, what is up with them? They will know that we are of Christ by our love for one another. And they'll see and be drawn and say, why do you love this way? How can you move through all the divisions in our culture right now and find some semblance of unity? How's that even possible? It's called the gospel. And we help people to see those truths. Paul assumes we cannot be spiritually mature as we ought unless we receive power from God to enable us to grasp the limitless dimensions of the love of Christ. That's going to change then the way that you fellowship, your ability to forgive, to love enemies, your speech patterns, your thought patterns, your actions and reactions, relationships, goals, and values. Listen, the most mature Christian among us is not the person who in themselves thinks, I'm strong. I don't need to pray. I'm good. The most mature among us will be those who in our humility and brokenness go to God again and again and again and again for strength. And God gladly every single time says, yes, here is my spirit and his power. Here is Christ residing. This is the love that I've displayed. Know it, comprehend it, embrace it, savor it, be satisfied by it, be sustained by it. He wants to do that gladly again and again and again. Now, those last two verses, people take that to do any number of things with them. Hey, God can do above and beyond all you ask or think. So he can provide you with this material thing and that material thing, and didn't study for a test, but I got an A anyway. That's that prayer. No. As a prof, no. Anyway, in context, do you see what he's saying? He has just said, I want to empower you by the Spirit that Christ could reside in your heart, that you would comprehend his love, that you would be filled with all the fullness of God and attain spiritual maturity. Oh, local churches, I can do that above and beyond your wildest, craziest, greatest imagination. And because I can, we're all like, glory to you. To him be glory in the church, in Christ Jesus, throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. What do you pray for? What's the default mode of your prayer life? I would challenge you to pray this prayer every day this week. I would challenge you to pray for 2 weeks. I prayed the last 6 weeks of my life through our church directory. You know what I prayed? That for every member of our church. every morning. A lot more prayers to pray, I get that. But friends, to do all that God is calling us to do, we need to be empowered by him, and he gladly does it. So Father, we thank you for the fact that your Spirit is indwelling us. We pray that you would fill us with your Spirit to the end that Christ would dwell and abide and take up residence in our hearts through faith, that we'd be godly people, be communing with Jesus to the end that we would be godly, God-centered, God-besotted people. We know your love. We've read of it. We've seen it. We've heard it preached and taught hundreds of times. Today, give us fresh vision of your love for us, that though we were rebel, sinful enemies, Christ died for us, and that changes everything. Let us know that to be filled with all the fullness of God, to live in a manner worthy of the gospel in all that we do. I pray this for high school students here. I pray this for parents here. I pray this for our college students here as well, faculty and staff, administration. Do it, Father. Do that again and again, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks so much. You're dismissed.